I'll be reading Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Please bow in prayer with me. Lord, thank you that we can come together as a body and hear your word preached today as Boyd brings a message on church membership. Just reminds me how thankful I am of this church body heritage, and just thank you for the many blessings we as a body have. And please just help us to grow closer together as brothers and sisters in you, and just help us to truly uplift each other and care for each other and love each other. We love you, Lord, and it's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
In our elder meetings that we have on Wednesday, a few weeks back, we were discussing church members and church membership, and we agreed that it was probably a good time to pause from our study in James and look at the issue of church membership. And that's why I'm taking a break today from the book of James and going to ask the question, is church membership biblical? I remember I had a conversation with a dad. This was probably close to 15, 16 years ago in a different church. And I remember having a conversation. He said, "Hey, what do you think about church membership?" And I said, "Well, I kind of think it's another tradition, really." That's what I said. And this was the guy who was asking me was a faithful attender of the church that I was at, and he wasn't someone who was, you know, off and on. He was pretty much there every single Sunday. And so it wasn't a situation where he was trying to find an excuse for not attending. He was just really asking me, and so what do you think about, you know, the concept of church membership? And we both were like, you know, it just seems to be something that's a tradition. It's a, you know, the word is not in the Bible. Church membership is not a phrase in the scriptures. But at that time, the Lord was taking me through a lot of changes in theology and how the church functioned and its methodology and in my own family life and a host of other things. And looking back, I was thinking about how I grew up in a church, two doors down, and that was the story of my life. I never remember a day I wasn't in church. In fact, I never drove to church until after college because I lived two doors down from the church. I always walked, and then when I went to college, they had church on campus. So I actually never drove to church until I was married and was out of college. And so I have known church all my life in that sense. And in the way we did church membership back in those days, I think was affecting me in a way as looking forward now that I was at that time in church leadership. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, okay, how did we used to join the church when I was a kid? Looking back at my family, and I think as a child and as a young teenager, it influenced my thinking a lot more than I realized. Because my experience was this: if you wanted to join the church, and I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and if you wanted to join the church, at the end of the service, there was an invitation, and which was a chance for you to come forward during that time if you would like to join the church. And there were all these little clipboards on the front row with these cards you filled out with your name and how you were joining. And the three options, when it came to joining, there were three options. You were a new believer, you had just gotten saved, and you wanted to join the church and be baptized. And the other was by transferring. You had left another church, and now you were coming to that church. And so you checked that box if that was you. As far as and also moving. You had moved into town, and now you were wanting to join a local church. And so we had these three options that were there on the little box to check. And congregation would finish singing, and we'd have the invitation. And if you wanted to join, you came down, you filled out the box, the pastor would look at the box, call you up, and say, so-and-so here wants to join today by either profession of faith or he's transferring from another church or whatever. All in favor say aye. All opposed would say no, which never happened in my whole years of being there, which would have been kind of awkward, I guess. But it was still had to be a formal vote. And so now the new pastor came in later and he changed it, and I liked it better. Instead of saying aye, you said amen, which sounded a little less like a business meeting and more like an affirmation. And so that was kind of membership. Now, we were in a neighborhood church, and there was a street where a bus stop is, you know, right there at the street, and people walked up and down our sidewalks all the time. But here's the thing. You literally could walk in from the street at 11 o'clock service, walk in, sit through the service, come down, fill out a card, and by 12:30, you were a member of that church. And nobody could know anything about you except what you checked on the box. And so that's how that was my understanding of church membership. It was that simple. It was that easy, but it was also that unrelational when it came to the formality of membership. Without really knowing anything about you by what you checked on the box, you could join to that church. And so as I grew older, I said, that seems more like just a tradition. Because you have no idea what these people believe. You don't know anything about their family. You don't know anything about their life, their character. Just what they checked on the box. So I took it as a tradition. And then I guess what compounded that is people would say, well, how many people are in your church? Oh, we have a membership of 800. Wow, how many were there on Sunday? 300. I'm like, where's the other 500? Where are they? And a lot of churches in that denomination would operate that way. You'd have an 800 or something membership, but the actual people who attended would be a lot less than that. And so I said, so I look back and go, that's just a tradition. That's just a formality. There's really not, I mean, why would you do that? And so that was my concept of church membership for many years. And I started thinking, where's that pattern in the Bible? Where's that pattern in the Bible? I mean, you were either, when you look at the scripture, you were either active or you weren't in the church. Because from what we see in the first century church, there were no inactive members. There was no understanding of loving Jesus and yet not loving or attending his church. You just don't see that pattern. So back in my younger days, I just assumed membership was a formality, if anything. You could join one Sunday, never go back, and you were still in the membership for the next decade. And then there were those people who would show up just to vote for something, and you'd never see them again until the next vote. But then as I looked more closely at the scriptures, as I was more troubled by this, I noticed that even though the word membership is not found in the scriptures, the principle is. Just like the word Trinity is not in the scriptures, but we understand the teaching of the Trinity, even though the word itself is not there. And we still believe that these things are found in the scripture in the principle of what they're taught. And likewise, we here as the leadership of Heritage, we see church membership as biblical. And I want us to consider the importance of church membership from a biblical perspective. Now, I preached on this about 5 years ago. I think it's time to take another look because it helped, even for me, it's a great refresher for me. And so here's the key, though. This is what I want us to know, is that church membership has to come from a biblical perspective, or it is just an opinion or a tradition. You got to think about that in terms of church. Now, that doesn't mean that every opinion's wrong or that every tradition's wrong. But an opinion or a tradition is not the same as a principle or a command. So what does the Bible teach about church membership? Now, even though the word itself is not used, we do see often the word members referred to in the body of Christ. And not playing semantics here, but if there are members, whether it's members of the body of Christ or members of a physical body, which the Bible refers to in illustrating, all members, they have to be joined to something. As members of the body of Christ, we are joined to Christ and we are joined to each other. Now, I'm not talking about local church membership being on a roster or anything like that. I'm referring to us as members of the body of Christ. We are joined to Christ because of our salvation. And because of our salvation to Christ, we are now joined as brothers and sisters in Christ to others who are saved. And so we have that understanding of membership. And most people who attend church would agree with that. But the whole separation is usually found that members or membership is only about being in the body of Christ. That the Bible really doesn't address the local church. And that certainly, I mean, it's a true statement that believers are joined to the universal body of Christ. But that doesn't negate membership or joining oneself to a local church body. So being members of God's body, when we see that understanding in Scripture, are we talking about the invisible church? Are we talking about being just members of Christ and His body? Or are we talking, do we see a pattern there for local church membership? What do the Scriptures teach? Well, the Bible teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We see that in Hebrews. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The New Testament speaks over and over about the local church. We see it in Acts when the church begins, and we read about it all the way through Revelation. We see the local church addressed. So there's an assumption, and there's a given to a degree in Scripture, that if you are a believer, you are going to be tied to a local church. Now, I'm not using the word member there, because I want us to walk through this. So there's the understanding of Scripture that you're going to be attending a local church. That's the assumption here, that we see the pattern that we see over and over in the New Testament. But does Hebrews 10 mean that the local church itself is supposed to have members or a membership? Or are we just one big family? Yes. Yes to both. We are one big family in Christ, the body of Christ. All true believers are members of the body of Christ. I can go to California, I can go to South America, I can go to Spring Lake, I can go all over places and find members of God's body, other brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are members of God's body, the body of Christ. But what about locally? Well, that's a yes too. The entire body of believers are to be members of local churches. And I'm using that word in the context of understanding the principle here. And we're going to get to this, so we walk through it. To be engaged and, as Hebrews says, actively provoking one another to love and to good works. Now, where some people challenge this is they again say, well, that phrase is not exactly in the Bible. You don't find local church membership in the Bible. But the principle, though, is taught over and over throughout the New Testament. How do we know that? Well, the Scriptures teach that local leadership is to be established in each church. We see that pattern. Titus 1:5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So in the first century church, although it's made up of many members, those members were to be under the leadership of local churches in every city. Now Christ is the head. The Bible tells us that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So the Scriptures teach that Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, we are accountable to the head of the church, Christ Himself. And that's where some people leave it at church membership. That's the only extent of membership they know, is that I'm accountable to Christ because He's the head of the church. And they say, well, we don't have to join a local church because Christ is the head of the church and I'm under Christ, so I don't need anybody else. It's just me and Jesus. And honestly, as time goes on, we see that concept a lot more. People are like, well, I don't need the local church. You know, I just have a great relationship with Jesus all by myself, and He's the head, and that's all I need. Well, He is sufficient for your salvation, but God Himself has given us other things He says we need. And if that was the case, Adam in a perfect world would never have been given a wife if God said, all I need is Him. But He said, it's not good that man's alone. Even though God Himself is saying that, and it's just Him and man, He said, it's not good that you're alone, Adam. I'm going to give you Eve. But some people take that perspective, a church member, all I need is Jesus. Regarding salvation, yes. That's all we can count on is Jesus. But He has given us the body as a blessing to one another, because God knows just you is not His intent. He has given us brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we see in the Scripture, people who take that approach that I don't need the local church, I don't need to join, I don't need to have any authority in my life outside of Jesus. That sounds super spiritual, but it's totally anti what God has said. We see clearly in the New Testament the establishment of local church leadership. And it's pretty obvious from even just, if you were just to casually read through the New Testament, it would never cross your mind that local church leadership is foreign. No, you see that in a very clear context and understanding that local leadership is a foundational teaching of the Scriptures. And there are even requirements for that local leadership and the responsibilities of church leadership. 1 Peter 5 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He says to the local leadership, "Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear," referring to Jesus, he shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now we see in this passage two leaders within the body of Christ. We have elders or shepherds who oversee the local body. That's one. The other leader is the chief shepherd, which is Jesus. The Scriptures teach submission to both. The Scriptures teach submission to both of them. In Hebrews 13, "And when the chief shepherd..." I didn't flip the verse when I was reading. I just realized that. That's the last part of 1 Peter 5. Hope you're a fast reader. But Hebrews 13 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation," or referring to their behavior. So don't miss this. We have the chief shepherd, Jesus, who tells us to submit to the local shepherds who are head of the body, the elders. Do you see that chain of authority there? We have the chief shepherd who tells us to submit to the under-shepherds, the local church leadership. Now, why is this so important? Why is this so important? Here's Hebrews 13, 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account." So this verse tells us that local church leadership has to give an account for your soul. This is probably one of the most scary verses in Scripture for leadership. To give an account for your souls. We watch over your soul. That doesn't mean regarding you being saved. But once you are saved and have submitted yourself to local leadership, we have to give an account. Look carefully here. The question we as leadership have to resolve is, and here's the million-dollar question. Okay, understand and just take it as a, understand my dilemma. I have to stand before God and give an account for you. But what's that criteria? For whom do we have to give an account? That's the million-dollar question for leadership. Who do we have to... Is that just for those who are here today? Is that those who are here 3 out of 4 Sundays? Is that those who are here 3 out of 4 Sundays and every other Wednesday night? Is that those who just live locally? Or is it... I mean, do you understand the dilemma we have? If I have to give an account, it would really help me to know who I have to give an account for. Do you understand the dilemma church leadership has? What's the criteria? 2 to 4 Sundays a month? 1 out of 3? You know, is there a percentage? 80% of the time? I don't know. If church leadership has to give an account for the souls that are under our leadership, how do we know who they are? What's the criteria that determines those for whom we have to give an account? Because we have to have a determining factor. Every church does. Because nobody likes to have to be responsible for someone that they don't feel they should be responsible for. And surely we want to know who we have to be responsible for. Okay? So I want us to see the pattern here. Bible tells us that we all submit to Christ. In Jesus, the chief shepherd says to all believers, you also, there is the submission to local church leadership. Elders are placed in local churches. So we have the local leadership. And the leadership is told, you have to give an account for the souls. You have to give an account someday for those under your leadership. But we're going to say, well, how do we know exactly who that's going to be? If someone visits once, do I someday, and never see him again, do I someday have to give an account for their soul? Do I have to speak on how I was regarding them and their being there that one Sunday? So for us, we said, what are we going to do? How do we know to whom we have to give an account? The clearest way for the leadership of Heritage is to apply accountability, which we have to give to God someday, is through church membership. Now, I want to see us walk this out here, which means joining the local church. Because attending and being a member are not the same. We don't see it as the same. Because you can have someone, because anybody can walk in and attend once and never see him again. Now, attending and membership may look the same on the outside, so to speak, but there is a difference. And what's the difference? Here's the word that nobody likes. Not found, really, nobody really likes this word I'm about to say. I don't even like it. It's just one of those words that we know we should like, but we don't. But when we see here, what's the biggest difference between attending and being a member? Because a member and someone attends could show up every Sunday, and from the outside you would like, well, they look the same. The member was here 50 out of 52 Sundays, and the attender was here 50 out of 52 Sundays. What's the difference besides just, you know, being on a roll? What's the biggest difference between attending and being a member? It's that submission word. Now, women get thrown that word a lot, especially by ungodly men who like to throw it in their face when they're not getting their way and say, wife, you're supposed to submit. So women, I think, have a harder issue with this word because men have abused that over the years. Not that women aren't called to submit. The Bible teaches that, but men are also called to submit. And so submission is not a word that any of us really like. It's always got a negative feel because really it's just implying, listen, I'm not getting to do what I want to do. That's basically how we tend to in our culture see submission. But all of us have to submit. You guys submitted coming here today. You submitted to the laws on the road. Speed limit says 55. You could have gone 80, but you submitted to 55, I assume. You submitted to you did some form of submission. So it has a very negative feel, especially in our culture, because it really means you're not getting your way. It means that you don't get to do what you want to do all the time. And any of us parents, we know children don't like to submit. And we know husbands and wives don't like to submit to one another. But the Bible teaches that. So it's a word that's not very popular. It doesn't have all the warm fuzzies. But I think this is so significant. This is the difference between church membership and just attending. When you join a church, even if it's the way that I grew up, where you came down and walked off the street, heard the sermon, filled out the card, and within an hour, you were now a member of a church you didn't know anybody at, and they just voted you in. But even if that, there's still a level of submission to that. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now that scripture teaching is for all believers. All believers are to submit themselves to church leadership, which God has ordained, the under-shepherds. And based on that verse, here's the thing. Who's that burden of submission placed upon? Who's that command to submit? When we see the scriptures here, regarding leadership, regarding submitting to leadership, that command is put on the local body, the congregation. It's not the responsibility of the church leadership to get you to join or to be a member. The church leadership, the elders, the shepherd, is not to go look for people that they can bring under their submission, submit to. That's not the responsibility. The burden there, the verse says, and this is to all believers, including me, because I am in this body as well. But that verse is to all believers. It says to submit yourselves, referring to the congregation. You are to place yourself under church leadership. Now, leadership can exhort you to obey the scriptures and submit, but the command, we see the responsibility placed on the congregation to make that first step, really. And again, that even includes church leadership because we even have to submit to one another as church leadership. And we submit to the chief shepherd, all of us. So although I'm in church leadership, I still place myself under church leadership. Now, even at this point, you say, well, I can do that. I can follow. You may say, well, I understand the concept. I can follow the church leadership. I can submit to the church leadership, but I'm still not going to join. Well, If that is the attitude, then you still have a submission problem. Because here's what we see in the Scriptures. Let me put it this way. Let me make it to where, and I hope this illustration helps. Now, according to the Bible, is it a sin to paint your living room blue? No, it's not. But what if a young teenage boy says, "Dad, I want to earn some money. I want to paint the living room." And the dad says, "Have at it, son. But here's the only thing. You have to paint it blue. Yeah, that's the color we have chosen for this living room. And so when you paint it, it's got to be blue again. That's the color." Now, what if that son goes and says, "Well, I'm going to paint it white." Has he submitted to his father? No. Has he sinned? Yes. Is it because white paint is sinful? No. White paint is not sinful. It's because he has refused to submit to the leadership. Now, white may be fine in another house or even in another room in that house. But the dad said, "For this home, the living room's blue." He's the authority. So it's really not about paint or colors, and it's really not about membership per se. It's about submission. Now, if someone says, "I'll submit to church leadership, but I'm not joining it," well, we still have a problem regarding being accountable to you. Because if you desire to submit yourself to be under our care, under our leadership, the way we as under-shepherds at Heritage have decided to practice and obey through the application that we have to be accountable to your souls, you're going to need to join and submit to leadership. Now, for some people, it's a blue paint, white paint issue. They don't want to practice accountability the way the church leadership has chosen to implement accountability. So we, the leadership here at Heritage, the under-shepherds, if you desire to submit to the local church leadership, and knowing that we leaders know that we have to give an account for those who have submitted, have placed themselves intentionally under our leadership, the best way for us to practice that, the determining factor we have decided that we want to know who we have to give an account for, is through church membership. So if you desire to place yourself under our care, if you desire to submit to church leadership, which is our means of applying this biblical teaching about accountability, we have chosen it to be church membership. Now, let me be clear here. We're not going to make you join the church. We don't ever make anyone to join the church. The first responsibility, as I said, lies with those attending to intentionally place themselves under church leadership. It's submission. Now, you may visit for a while and determine that, you know, this isn't the leadership you desire to be under. That's fine. Please go somewhere else where you can rightfully obey the Scripture. Because it's not healthy to be floundering out from under the blessing of church leadership as God has designed it. Now in Acts we read, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest no man dared join himself to them. But the people magnified them, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." I want you to see something here. This is around the world around the time of the first century church. The world, they magnified the people of God because they saw these works that were being done. People that were kind of on the outside of the church looking in were like amazed at what was being done in the church. But they weren't about to join them. That word there in the Greek, that word "join" means cleave. But it's not cleaving if you're just there every once in a while. It's not cleaving or joining if you're not placing yourself voluntarily and intentionally under church leadership. Now, the early church was committed and they were active and they took seriously God's design to have people worship together and to submit to church leadership. For these people in Acts 5, they were submitting to the apostles' leadership at this time. And what was the result? "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers." Now you may say, "But I don't want to submit to this church leadership." I get that. I realize we're not the only church in town. But find some other leadership you'll submit to, because our goal here at Heritage is to see you built up in Christ. The entire body built up in Christ. And you really can't do that if you don't place yourself under church leadership. Now, we don't find any hint in Scripture where you are to reject being a part of the local body. It's a New Testament living. You are to be joined to the local body. So the choice is not whether or not I submit to the local church leadership as a believer. That's the given in the New Testament. The choice is which leadership am I going to submit to? So this isn't about this being the only church. This is about you as a believer intentionally obeying that command that you are to place yourself, you are to submit yourself under church leadership. And we at leadership says, hey, listen, if it's not us, let it go somewhere where you can fulfill that scripture and be obedient to God. Because that is the goal here. Not to build up this church, but for God's church to be built up. So we as leadership exhort you to obey this verse, even if it means you got to go somewhere else to obey it. Do it. Again, just to clarify, the Bible places a great deal of responsibility on church leadership. But we have to know our boundaries. In fact, Peter talked about the church leadership not abusing this authority. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money, but for a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So this isn't about power and control for leadership, or we'd be demanding you join and don't go anywhere else. That would be power and control. But we're saying, listen, obey the Scripture, brother and sister, even if you have to go somewhere else to do it. Because we exhort you, as according to Scripture, place yourself, submit yourself to church leadership. Intentionally do that. And intentionally means you don't just keep showing up again. I guess they assume I'm kind of here. It means there has to be some kind of communication. I'm intentionally submitting myself to the leadership of this church. So this isn't about leadership won't control or power or anything like that. It's about being us as leadership having to be responsible for those who have submitted themselves to church leadership. But the first responsibility still, the first step, is for the congregation to place themselves under that leadership. And here's the thing that I want us to really understand. If the local church leadership says, the way we identify those that we have to give an account for, if the way we do that here is church membership, then join that membership. Now, if they say, hey, this is how we as elders identify those we have to give an account for, send us an email and say, hey, I'm placing myself in your leadership. If that's the way the church does it, then send them an email. If they say, hey, we identify those for whom we have to give an account by that, you know, the way we understand that you're placing yourself under our leadership is that you wear a bow tie every Sunday. If that's the method we've chosen, and you want to submit yourself to leadership, and that's what we've said, then you wear a bow tie every Sunday as a way to communicate to us that you're submitting yourself to leadership. See, what I don't want to get hung up on is the membership part. What we have to get hung up on is the fact that we have to give an account for your soul, and we have to determine how can we identify those that are going to do that. And our main way of doing it, which most churches have done, is church membership. But again, how that kind of fleshes out can be different ways. It can be walking down and filling out a card right after you walked in the church for the first time. That's how I grew up. It can be wearing a bow tie every Sunday. It can just say, send an email saying, hey, we're placing ourselves under church leadership. But there has to be an understanding for those that we have to give an account for. That's what I want to see here. And people say, well, still, what's the big deal? Again, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, which is the burden on the congregation. For they, church leadership, watch for your souls as they have to give an account. Here's the thing, that they may, talking about us, leadership, may do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. This verse, you read it and you're like, wow, do you see what's being said here? You're to obey and submit yourselves to church leadership because we watch out for your souls. And we have to give an account for how we have led and been shepherds. And the Bible says you placing yourself under church leadership and obeying church leadership, submitting to local church leadership. This is what's so weird about this. We have to give an account. But you doing this, it says that we as church leadership may do it with joy and not with grief. You think, well, that sounds like your problem. Talk about church leadership's problem. No, it's not. It says that they may do it with joy and not with grief, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for who? Not the leadership. That's unprofitable for you, the congregation. And that reminds you, I also am in this congregation. So I'm preaching as a leader and as a member. And so it's unprofitable. If you do not submit yourself to church leadership and you do not obey those that have the rule over you, that have to watch for your souls, that have to give an account, then that means if you don't do that, you're going to cause, there's going to be a lack of joy, there's going to be a drudgery, I guess, in serving. And that makes it the problem for you. It's unprofitable if that's the setup. So do you see what happens when the congregation submits to church leadership and the church leadership understands the boundaries and for whom they have to give an account, and then they can serve with joy, which makes it profitable for you, the congregation. You end up with joyful church leadership. You think, well, that's kind of their deal. But no. And all of us understand, I think, this, because my kids do. My kids know when my wife and I aren't connecting. We don't have to say a word. They can just feel it. And when mom and dad aren't connecting, kids know that. And they feel that. They sense it. But when mom and dad are connecting and the marriage is joyful, the kids sense that. And the kids enjoy the home. And mom and dad enjoy it as well. When we see leadership that's not joyful and that are serving with grief, you feel that. You feel that. The congregation feels it. And so the Bible says it's unprofitable for the congregation to have a even if it seems like a no big deal to you, a spirit of rebellion in a sense among the church. And so we see the pattern here. When you're not submitting, it causes a grief or a groaning, really is the Greek understanding, of leadership that's suffering because of the setup that God has given is not being followed joyfully. And it's unprofitable for the entire congregation for that to happen. It's to the advantage of the local church body to submit to their God-given local church leadership. Now, is leadership always right? No. Is there ever a time to leave church? Yes. I mean, if false doctrine is being taught, I pray that you leave quickly. But do that after you've met with church leadership and rebuked them on the false doctrine. But here's the catch. You don't leave to go be on your own. You leave to be placed under other church leadership. It's like the, and you guys in the military know this, you know, it's like the 18-year-old says, I am tired of listening to my parents. I'm going to go out on my own and join the military. It's like, oh, wow. You just left two parents and you got a whole government over you now. And so it's like that. It's people like, I'm tired of the leadership here. I'm going to leave and go and go somewhere else. Well, the Bible says, no, you leave, you better place yourself under church leadership somewhere. This isn't about leaving church leadership. You may someday say, I can't function and submit to this church leadership. I don't agree with the doctrine or whatever. But you go and find a place where you still submit to church leadership. It shows that we're to be as far as members of this church body. In the New Testament church, the leadership has to give an account. We have to give an account for the souls under our care. I will not have to stand before the Lord someday and give an account for the believers that are attending a church somewhere in Spring Lake or in California or, you know, Brazil or wherever else. I don't have to give an account for those people. But I will for those who are submitted to the requirements for submission, which we have entitled church membership. It was a close decision, but we decided not to go with the bow tie method. We said, let church membership be how we identify who we're going to be responsible for. But this is a weighty and sobering responsibility that church leadership has all over the world. But something else church leadership does, it does give clarity to church discipline issues. Not that we don't ever enact discipline on someone that's, you know, well, brother so-and-so is, you know, speaking gossip. Well, he's never joined the church, so we can't address it. No, we would still address that. But it does give clearer lines and responsibility, more so from the congregation's perspective. Because if someone ever just attends once every 3 or 4 months, if someone comes, those lines of discipline are a little bit harder because they've not put themselves consistently under church leadership. But I can tell you there's enough responsibility that local church leadership has for its members without trying to go and be accountable for those outside of the church. Now, it's kind of common today for people to, you know, do what we call date the church. You know, they go from here to there, never join, and they just kind of bounce around and, you know, always moving a little bit before, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want people to find out what it's really like, or maybe they just want to be under the radar all the time. I don't know, but that type of living makes for weak Christianity, because none of us, by God's design, are to try and live the Christian life on our own outside of being under authority. You're not going to find that in the Scriptures. Now, there's an additional side, a benefit to being under church leadership. If your family is here, your children will learn by example that submission is healthy and it's a biblical way to live the Christian life. Again, submission is not a fun word because it means you're not in charge. It means that you are dying to self. But believers, if your children are here, it's a way to, and your members, you're visibly showing that you're submitting to leadership. It can be dangerous to indirectly instill in your children that the family doesn't need the church. But you can make it on your own, that there's no need to really submit. And there are many families, especially many homeschooling families, that take that approach. And what they say is, you know what, I've not found any leadership anywhere that's really good enough for me, and so I'm just going to do my own thing here at the house. That's not biblical either. That's not what Christ taught, and that's not the pattern we see in the New Testament. To live that way is sinful. Which I find, I can understand if you were in the jungles of South America and there are no believers anywhere, but my word, most of us passed 10 churches coming here today. I mean, if you can't find the local leadership in your place, I mean, you might want to step back and go, listen, am I requiring more than God's even requiring? Sometimes you got to ask that question. And there's some people who do that. They just retreat and go, you know, because they don't like, you know, I can't find one church that I completely agree with. Listen, I don't agree with everything we do, and I'm in leadership. I don't agree with everything I do. So you're not going to find a perfect church. And if it is perfect and you join it, it's no longer going to be perfect. But if you can't find yourself, especially in America, where there are countless churches, you got to take a step back and go, am I demanding more than even God's demanding? But you see that pattern in many homeschool families. And once again, the Scriptures teach that the believer is to place themselves under the leadership of the local church. There doesn't seem to be any exceptions there. Well, that don't agree with their doctrine. I can't find any church in America that agrees with my doctrine. I'm guessing your doctrine is wrong. But the first move of submission is placed, the burden is placed on the congregation first. And for us here at Heritage, the leadership has determined that those that we have to give account for, the determining factor is you joining this church. It's the best means for us to know who we have to give an account for. So what is required or expected for those who want to join? Well, we have a church covenant. I don't know how well you can see that. Oh, you see it all right. It's real crowded on the phone, but we have a church covenant. It's an agreement between these two groups, the leadership and the congregation, that we collectively place ourselves under leadership. And again, Steve and Ben and I, we place ourselves under each other's leadership. It's just how we function. And that's what the Bible teaches. We're not to lord it over you. And so it shows what we're to, this is what we have drawn up and has been in place for years now, looking here at the covenant of fellowship. And we want to strive as leadership to know whom we have to give an account for. And we have chosen membership as that means. We have to give an account. It's how we function. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. But God has given us each other to be joined to His kingdom and under leadership of local believers. So if you're a member, you continue to place yourself under leadership. If you're not a member, I encourage you to submit yourself to this local leadership or some other local leadership where you can be obedient to that scripture. God has designed for all of us in the church body to be under local leadership, either here at Heritage or somewhere else. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given His children, because He never designed for us to live outside of local church leadership. It's the great blessing of being in Christ, is having one another. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your love and for Your designs, how You are so creative and things that You have given us. You have blessed us with spouses You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us the local body. There are so many times we look in Scripture and think, well, God's just enough. And He is sufficient. But God in His sufficiency has said, you still need this. Adam, you need an Eve. Believer, you need church leadership. Believers, you need the Holy Spirit. There are things we still need. And God, I praise you that you are all sufficient, but I also thank you that in your wisdom and your sufficiency, you have blessed us with each other. Lord, help us to walk through things like this, that because nobody likes that word submission. But I think there is a freeing understanding when we just submit to you. When we give up to self, which is really another teaching we see in the Scriptures, to die to self. That is so hard. Whether it's local leadership or whether it's just getting out of the bed in the morning. There's so many things we have to die to self for. I pray that you would continue to teach us. And may we follow you and be obedient, even in the hard things. In Jesus' name, amen.